Aloha, everyone. Welcome to As Your Wish Talk Radio. This is Ashley from Isetti, and the pre-recorded interview that James did with Michael Tellinger will start in just a minute. I first wanted to make some announcements and give a shout-out to Gary Anderson from Canada and Joseph and all of you who helped us to do the conversion of this pre-recorded interview. I love how our community comes together. And we'll be doing that more as our roadshow continues. We're talking about what's happening in Isetti this coming year, as well as talking about how to be a volunteer or a seasonal community member at Isetti. Our upcoming dates, Saturday, March 11th in Mount Shasta, Monday, March 13th in Eugene, Oregon, Thursday, March 16th in Portland, Oregon, and our webinar will be Saturday, March 18th. Registration for all of those is now open on private invitation, isetti.com. And also we'll be in Seattle as guests of SUFON on Sunday, May 21st. They're just putting together their final details. Thanks for your patience as we get the website open with the weekend workshops. If you want to plan, James's self-mastery workshop will be Memorial Day weekend, the end of May. And his guest, Michael Tellinger, who he'll be interviewing tonight, we'll be doing a powerful workshop in June. We're just working on the final dates with his tour arranging gentleman, Neil. And so if you're interested in what Michael has to say tonight, please send us an email. We'll let you know when the dates are finalized. Michael is doing amazing work with contributionism in creating small towns of action in various countries around the planet, which is a stepping stone into that fifth dimensional frequency we've been talking about. So listen in to tonight's radio show. Enjoy. Thanks for your patience. I look forward to seeing some of you on the stops of our roadshow or perhaps on the webinar on March 18th. Mahalo nui loa, and now it's over to James.
Greetings. This is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio on the BBS Network. We've got another great show tonight. We've got Michael Tellinger. He's the founder of Global Ubuntu Liberation Movement of the Higher Consciousness and an international authority on the origins of humankind, the vanished civilizations of Southern Africa. He has become a real-life Indiana Jones, making groundbreaking discoveries about advanced vanished civilizations at the southern tip of Africa. His continued efforts and analytical scientific approach have produced stunning new evidence that will force us to rethink our origins and rewrite our history books. And without any further ado, I want to bring Michael on the show. Michael, are you with us?
I'm with you, James. Lovely to hear your voice, my friend.
Yeah, you as well. So what are you shaking up now? I know you've got so many irons in the fire. I'm just wondering what your latest projects are.
Well, it's the same thing, really. It's just expanding so quickly that it's become difficult to manage the whole growth of the Ubuntu movement and then obviously the foundation out of which it emerged, which is the research into the ancient civilizations in Southern Africa and my museum and the tours to the stone circles and Adam's calendar and all the ancient ruins here in Southern Africa, which I've completely neglected over the last 6 years, which I'm re-energizing and restarting and reactivating with a great excitement in my heart because I was really missing that. The Ubuntu movement, obviously, as you may be aware, has just grown so quickly around the world now. We have Ubuntu representative teams in, I think, 10 countries now and another 47 countries on standby to set up Ubuntu management teams and start spreading and sharing the philosophy of a new world where money no longer controls our lives and creating, manifesting our own reality, which more and more people are beginning to realize is absolutely in our grasp. So a lot of exciting things going on, but as you said, a lot of irons in the fire, and it's become very tough on me and the people close to me. So doing the best I can to dilute the responsibility and share it with others around the world. 12 years ago, I started talking, let's say 2005, I started talking about a world without money or a world free from money and economic slavery and finding a way to get ourselves out of this and creating a new reality and a new social structure. And slowly but surely and in a exponential way. It's been speeding up and growing. And the awareness of this and an understanding, a deeper understanding of how we can extricate ourselves from this financial slavery system that we all born into. And what has happened now is that I guess, you know, I've had to walk a long and interesting winding path to get us to this point in time now where the experience and the lessons that I've learned with all the people that have crossed my path and came in and out of my life and the many people that have joined and are continuing to walk this journey with me and growing the Ubuntu movement around the world has brought us to a point where we really have a solid plan and a solid foundation and what I've referred to as a blueprint for a new social structure. And more people are starting to refer to it like that, which is so simple and so mind-blowingly real that and achievable that when people find out, they get so excited. They just want to run out there and tell everybody else. And that's the exciting part is that we really have walked the talk, learned from our experiences and our collective growing pool of knowledge and information and come up with such a simple plan and such a simple model that we now know it's, well, not only know that it's possible, but we've started implementing it in a very small way in a number of places around the world. So, and that plan of action, if you're not aware of it, is what we call the one small town strategy. If we can convert one small town into an Ubuntu contributionist community, it will create a domino effect around it and infect all its neighboring communities and towns with the same sort of virus of consciousness where money is no longer used to divide people, but is actually used as a tool to unite people and create a platform of abundance and prosperity on all levels in each community. And the moment you have one such small town that starts to implement this, it will create that domino effect that becomes unstoppable. And it's just incredible to see how people are getting it. They watch our little One Small Town Can Change the World video, and they get it, and they just want to go out there and start doing it, which is exactly what we need. We need that critical mass to just get it and go out there and implement it.
Well, I think you're going against, decades of programming and enslavement, and to the point where it's almost like that Stockholm effect, that people have actually aligned with their enslavers. And, we saw that in the elections over here. It's unbelievable. These people are marching and demanding, they have, Hillary back in office, and things like that. And they've done no research whatsoever. And she's got the worst track record for everything, And even women's rights. I mean, she's not, I don't know, she's not really a woman. I wouldn't even call her a woman. I don't know what she is. But, people are still marching out in the streets and demanding, they have their woman president and things like that. They've done absolutely no research into her history, how corrupt the Clinton Foundation is. And now it's moving into the pedophile network and highly involved in that. And it's just going down this big, dark rabbit hole, which is all surfacing now. Finally, it's finally all coming out. But I say that there's some people out there that they're so wounded and they're so traumatized and they're looking for an expression of their own wounds and traumas. And this platform seemed to be it, And so it was a place to voice all the anger and frustration towards men and this and this and everything else, which, rightly so, there has been a lot of abuse, but I just see it as a process. I mean, the whole earth is undergoing this huge, process oriented. Yeah. Therapy session. and everything is coming up, everything's coming up to be dealt with.
Yeah, no, it's, I'll tell you what, the USA elections took me by surprise, I guess, as much as everybody else. And, knowing the Clintons and knowing Hillary and knowing that, she was the golden girl of the elite, the bankers, the banking families and the media, everybody was behind her. It was going to be the golden girl and she was going to basically probably take the world to the edge of World War III or the next huge conflict. that will just really help the bankers take control of every part of the world. And by some strange set of circumstances, did not happen. So having been involved in the elections in South Africa, in the UK, in Australia, with the Ubuntu Party, as you may know, over the last 4 years now, that has taught me a lot about politics and how it works. And that, in fact, it was through the participation in politics on a national level and going for government and parliament, that's where I realized that we don't need to go for the head. We don't need to go for government and parliament and all that. Let's go for the heel. And I called it the Achilles heel approach. And that's when I adopted the one small town approach, because that's the virus and the seed of consciousness that we inject into the political beast, and it becomes unstoppable. But what I learned is that the political process is completely and utterly controlled and manipulated, and the outcome is exactly what the elite want it to be. They control that lock, stock, and barrel. So the fact that with all that control, the money, the media, and everything behind Hillary, somehow she still lost, that is impossible based on the control that they have. So the only conclusion that I could reach after the stunning election results with Trump is that there must have been intervention from some higher dimensional or higher consciousness field to prevent her from getting in. I don't know what your take is on that, but it's just impossible for her to have lost.
Yeah, there was some major intervention on several counts. What I found out is that, one, the general stepped in, and they made it so she couldn't steal the election. She actually stole 5 states, and she had to steal 7 to actually totally be in there. And the general stepped in and stopped that process. So Trump actually has the generals behind him, and kind of an elite group. It's like layers and layers of generals that are just fed up. And it goes back to Eisenhower, where he set this into motion, where if things got too corrupt, the generals would step in and take over and reset everything and restore the republic. And that's exactly what's happening.
That's interesting.
Right now.
I was not aware of that. That's very interesting.
Yeah,
anyway,
yeah.
We'll see how it unfolds. You know, let's see how it unfolds. In the meantime, more and more people are finding the Ubuntu message and our simple plan of action. And at this stage, we already have several towns around the world where the mayors and the councils have stepped up and said, we want to implement this in our town. Mm-hmm. And that's just, you know, that's, I didn't realize that it would happen that quickly. So that's what we're busy working with right now. In Brazil, there are a number of towns that want to do this already, where the mayor and the councils have agreed to do this. In the USA, we have a few towns that have become candidates, and we have one definite town in Canada that wants to do it. There are some that are some people in Germany that are making noises, and it's just, it doesn't matter where it is, doesn't matter what country it is. Once we have that small town where the mayor and the council go and share this plan of action with the people of their town, lay out the plan for prosperity and abundance by creating a number of projects that are really just businesses that are owned by the whole town, the people of the town. And those businesses range from basic, you know, food growing to dairy and bakery and to more technology, innovation, industry, you know, carpentry, engineering, electronics, etc., and healthcare. Converting hospitals into real healing centers instead of just, you know, maintenance of dis-ease.
Yeah.
It becomes an incredibly exciting launch pad and a process that will create so much excitement in other towns once the mayor starts to put out the press releases, the announcements of the decisions of what the town plans to do, what they plan to implement. How implementation will take place, inviting the inventors and the healers to come to their town, and the scientists and the engineers and the food growers to come to the town, and offering all research facilities to people to create free energy devices, to find a cure for cancer, to create new materials to anything that you can imagine. Can you just imagine that kind of set of circumstances where the mayor goes out and makes this statement and yeah. it's supported by the council and the people of the town? This has never happened in human history before.
You have like mayors and councilmen and everybody involved and you know, starting putting it forward before the people and starting these processes. And you know, what I was, from my understanding, like the Pleiadians, the higher dimensional beings, all those guys, they don't have a monetary system. They don't use money. And they're totally abundant. I mean, they lack for nothing. The whole universe is their, you know, multidimensional playground, basically. And you know, they somehow got rid of the tyrants. You know, they got rid of the uneven dispersal of wealth and the planned obsolescence and all the other nonsense things that are going on to create, you know, enslave the masses. But it seems like you're on that same line, on the same program.
Well, it certainly seems like it. You know, I've been getting interesting channeled messages from people all over the world telling us that we're doing exactly what is already happening in the future. Mm-hmm. So that's really encouraging. And I guess that's why I get a sense of energy that keeps driving me, because it's, I must tell you, this is a thankless, relentless, never-ending, uncompromising thing that I took on. And many times I've sort of just saying, okay, I can't deal with this anymore. It's just too much pressure, too much stress, and too much whatever. And then, you know, in between the support, you always get the nutcases that start attacking you and smearing your name and all this. Okay. And it's always about the money, right? So mm-hmm. it certainly comes with some interesting challenges, and you've got to rise above it. Know that what you're doing is for a greater good.
Yeah, I've actually put out some of the things that were said about me. I actually put them out on my list and said, you guys got to look at this. I go, this is so ridiculous. They said I was a pedophile and I belonged to a Russian bestiality group, and I traveled to Russia often. And it's almost like Trump, you know. I feel like the same stuff there they were throwing at Trump.
What is interesting as well is that the Ubuntu movement has been attracting very interesting people. You know, in the beginning, for the last several years, I guess the last 6 years or so, been attracting very sort of the very leftist, the for want of a better expression, the free spirited people, the hippie kind, the bunny huggers, the tree huggers, yeah. those kind of people that don't fit into mainstream society. And more, and those are beautiful people. That's by no means a derogatory statement, because they're very conscious and they know that the world we live in is completely screwed up, and they choose to live very different lives. But more and more we're finding mainstream people that find us, that are sick and tired of what's going on, and realizing that the message we share is a really sober one, and very simple, and is doable and is achievable. So more and more we find people that have, you know, come from banking and corporate background, and suddenly we've got quite a more and more support coming from guys that own, you know, billion-dollar companies that want to get involved and help. Mm-hmm. And that's really encouraging. And at the same time, what has happened is that I've realized that the message that some people got about the Ubuntu movement and creating a money, a society without money and so forth, they probably got the wrong end of the stick to start off with, and thought that we're going to create a society without money, without using money, and that's not possible. Mm-hmm. And that has become an interesting dichotomy in some ways, because to create this future utopian world, and I use utopian specifically because it is a utopian world that we're trying to create, where everybody has everything and everybody lives beautiful lives, expressing their talents and their skills, and full of bliss and joy, and no reason for any violence, aggression, conflict, because everybody lives their lives to the absolute full without any hurdles or obstruction to their creative talents. And it became evident that many people think that we're going to do this without money. And I've had to, I guess, walk my own path for nearly 12 years now. Well, it is 12 years now, and since 2005, and realize that we have to use the tools of enslavement to create a platform in which those tools of enslavement are no longer effective in any way. Mm-hmm. So we're using money and the concept of capitalism to create the new society and a new social structure in which people no longer are enslaved by money nor capitalism or any of those effects. And that's really incredible. So the tools of enslavement become the tools of liberation and create the foundation for a new social structure. That is just incredible realization and a point to come to after so many years.
You know, one of the masters said, you know, he said, it's through the word that you got enslaved and you got lost. And he said, it's through the word that you're going to be freed. So you can't just, you know, you have to use the tools that people are accustomed to. And to me, you know, I get some of the same thing. It's like, I live a very simple, very basic life. And whatever funds that come in for us, is which has been very minimal. Work I do here in the ranch and everything is supported through the doing workshops and classes and counseling and book sales all go back into keeping the ranch together. You know, and people, you know, a lot of people go, oh, you're an author, you're this, you're that. You know, and they automatically think you're rich and you're loaded. And you go, no, you know, it's like everything we're doing, you know, goes back into the ranch and keeping the people fed and housed and things, you know, at the ranch. Yeah, there's a lot of weird misperceptions out there people need to get over. Now, what I noticed at the ranch, and I'm sure you're running into that too as well, there seems to be this group that has a sense of entitlement. And they come, they come and they have all these expectations, you know, it's like you're supposed to feed and house them. But how do you deal with that? How do you deal with that consciousness where people come and they have a sense of entitlement and expect to be taken care of and don't want to contribute back, you know, in a way that is, you know, fair and just for everyone?
Well, it's been a tough journey for me. It's been a lesson for me, and it's a tough lesson because I've had to deal with exactly a lot of that kind of people arriving with a completely the wrong idea or misperception, their own agenda. They say they want to come and help you, work with you and help you. In the meantime, they actually want to come and stay there, you know, for free and use your place and be fed. Mm-hmm. And then don't contribute anything. But that's part of the learning curve. That's part of the learning curve. And I've had to go through that, working with volunteers. And I must say, some volunteers have been fantastic, but generally a lot of the volunteers that have crossed our path here have come with their own agenda, not really to help and implement the Ubuntu plan of action. They come to implement their plan of action, and if you don't want to follow their plan of action, they get upset. Mm-hmm. So, you know, then I say, did you come here to help us, or did you come here to do what you want to do? If you come here to do what you want to do, then you're not helping us. Then, you know, go and have a nice life and implement what you want to do, and I will support you in that. But you can't do that here.
Yeah.
And then some of them get upset and they call you a dictator and that kind of stuff. But because they arrive with their own preconceived ideas. So, but this has all been a very important lesson because it has taught me so much about where we are as the human race, consciously. What people's perceptions are about various things, and it makes me stronger. It makes me more aware of what's going on, and makes me ready for the next phase. What we are entering now, 2017, has kicked off so quickly. I can't believe we're already in March, and I'm about to embark on my annual tour, and it's just insane. It's insane how quickly time is going, and how now we can start implementing all the lessons we've learned over the last 6 years or so here at Stone Circle and since I launched the Ubuntu Movement office from those premises, which is what, about 8 years ago now. Yeah, my goodness, time flies.
Yeah, it does. I know we've been working very closely, and I haven't talked too much about this, and I've been working with Winston Strout and others and, you know, top people in the field that are working on this global reevaluation thing. And I've seen a lot of people in the movement, you know, saying, oh, when I get my $1 trillion, you know, the first thing I'm going to do is go and buy a new boat, a new Mercedes. I'm going to buy an island, you know, I'm going to do this. And I said, these are humanitarian funds. You're supposed to help out humanity with them, you know, and they just, it's funny. Money does that to people. It's,
yeah.
You know, it's, yeah.
Yeah. Well, this is why I think the plan that we have with Ubuntu, with the One Small Town plan, is just so gripping. When people go through it and they realize how simple it is and how how prosperous the community will become very quickly once the projects take off and actually start bringing in not just thousands or hundreds of thousands, but actually millions of dollars and sometimes even billions of dollars. Because just, you know, think about a hospital. Imagine you live in a town of 5,000 or 10,000 people and your hospital or your healing center, as we will call it, starts to cure cancer. You know, my question is always, how much money will our small little hospital make once we start curing cancer? Mm-hmm. So, you know, the sky's the limit. Yeah. So, and our hospital is one of the community projects, the community businesses that we'll run for the benefit of the whole community and those that participate in the contributionism aspect of the remake or the makeover of our town. Will get all those benefits for free because they contribute their 3 hours a week.
Yeah.
And the rest of the time they do what they love to do, or they still have a job somewhere else until such time that the distribution of the money from all our projects or businesses is more than they're earning in their job. Mm-hmm. And suddenly they stop working in their job and they just continue contributing 3 hours a week because now they're earning as much or more than they were earning in a job where they had to work 8 hours a day. Now they just have to contribute 3 hours a week, and they've got all this extra time that they can then do what they love to do, which then contributes even more to the well-being of the community. Yeah. Because those that want to be engineers will spend all day engineering, and those that want to heal will spend all day healing. Those that want to grow food and seedlings and redress the genetically modified foods will be doing that. So you see the abundance that we'll create once people are freed from that enslavement system of having to go to a job. And what happens is that the money that comes into the town from all these projects becomes so much that the town and the people get so wealthy. And the wealthier they get means the more successful the community projects, businesses are, the more money comes in and the more money gets distributed to everybody. And yet they've got nothing to spend the money on. Isn't that the irony?
Yeah. Yeah. No,
that's the beautiful thing about this. That is the absolute turning point when people realize, well, I'm getting all this money and our business, we're in our little town where we've taken the roof off or any restrictions of creativity, of the science, technology, healthcare, arts and culture, everything is just booming all the time, never ending boom. And the more and more money comes in, the more we create, the more food we grow, the more textiles and technology and computers and engineering we do, the more money we bring in, and yet the less money we need to use. Mm-hmm. That's the incredible twist in the tale. And it's at that moment that people finally realize that we don't need money. We need each other. And by doing that, we can have anything we choose. Like you said, people that talk about the, you know, getting these millions or billions from the redressing of the money system, they want to go buy a boat and that. Now you don't have to worry about it. You'll have a boat at your disposal all the time whenever you need it. And it doesn't have to be yours.
Yeah.
It belongs to everyone in the community. You can go water skiing and sailing. And if there aren't enough boats, then we'll bloody build more boats so there are enough boats for all the people. Because mm-hmm. not all the people will be windsurfing and skiing and sailing all the time. But there'll be enough boats so everybody can do it. And it's free for everyone to enjoy when they choose to enjoy it. And that changes the whole perception about gluttony and greed and hoarding and stealing things from others or taking something that's not yours, because suddenly you've got access to everything at all times. And if you don't have it, then the community will go out and create it or build it or make it available.
Yeah, I agree. You know, it's interesting that, people really think that, you know, if they have money and they buy, the most miserable people I've ever seen are sometimes the richest people. And
yeah.
You know, I hate to make that as a thing, but I've just seen, you know, there's no love in their life. You know, they're so worried about the others taking what they've got. They have high security, you know, they're living in fear, because they know that. Yeah. everybody else is going to be trying to get what they've got, and everybody else is using them because of what they got, and there's no real friendship or love there. And it's just like, it's such a miserable life when you get down to it, that there's no love, there's no joy, there's no real sense of brother sisterly love or community. And we weren't meant to live that way. And they, until they get to that level at the top and they start having those experiences, they've been fed this American dream, which is actually a nightmare. And,
it's interesting that you bring this up, because it's those people that we look to with the Ubuntu movement, those that become conscious, the conscious millionaires, mm-hmm. to then step forward and say, okay, listen, I've got all this money. I'm sick of trying to hide it. I want to do something good with it, something that I know will not only benefit me but benefit everybody else in the community I choose to be in. And we're finding that some of these conscious millionaires are already stepping forward and saying, I want to be involved. You know, how can we make this thing work? I want to sponsor a one small town. And some of them have come forward already, not many, but they're starting to come forward. They're making contact with us, and they're showing interest, and it's just going to grow exponentially. And as you know, quite rightly, as you said, once the people get so rich, they realize also the scam and how quickly you can lose the money, how quickly you can lose everything you've got, because they get to know the thin edge between all or nothing,
yeah.
where – many people without money don't know that. They think that when you get rich, you're happy, you got everything. And this is where the poor people, and especially the middle class, which is the buffer. And this is why in the capitalist and the democratic system that we have today, the middle class is the buffer between the rich and the poor, and those that aspire to get rich, while the poor people just, you know, they just want to survive from day to day. And that number is growing daily. So it's actually the wealthy people and the rich people that could become a very strong support group, a growing strong support group for the Ubuntu movement, because it also relieves the burden of protecting their money and their wealth, because now they're going to share it with everybody and they're going to get so much more in return than they ever could have imagined.
Yeah, basically, that's what I say is that, you know, if you're super wealthy and you're miserable, you know, try going out there and doing humanitarian things and giving to people, you know, and see how that makes you feel, you know, and see what kind of people you run into. You know, a lot of the poorest people I've noticed have the most joy, and they're high integrity, honest, you know, and that's the kind of people I'd like to surround myself with. But, you know, they should get out and just start doing, you know, humanitarian things.
There's a very interesting line in that debate as well, where all the humanitarian work and all the charity work that's been done in the world, that word charity is dangerous, because you know, as many of the well-informed people, that all the big charities around the world are just scams and fronts for the banking families.
Yeah.
But where charity really comes from the heart, and groups of people gather together and they go and do charitable work, and it's all great, but it's not, obviously it's not a solution. It's like sticking a Band-Aid on a cancer, oozing cancer wound. I'm not saying for one second it should stop, but I'm saying that we need to recognize this is what we've done with the Ubuntu movement and our one small town approach, is that the moment you have that one small town functioning and creating this abundance on all levels, it will then create that domino effect that I believe will spread so quickly throughout the world that it will become completely unstoppable, and no government, no army could stop it, because remember, we're using money and capitalism to create the success. So it's impossible to stop it. And this will spread to these small villages that are so impoverished and in dire straits. It'll spread very quickly and start affecting and uplifting those communities much quicker than we imagine, and will obviously is a everlasting solution rather than just a Band-Aid. This is why I guess I'm so excited now more than ever, because I can see the collective consciousness is just plugging into this more and more.
You know, a lot of people, excuse me, don't recognize the fact that, you know, now they're just finding out the Clinton Foundation, got billions of dollars for Haiti. The people never saw it. They never saw any of it. And the Bushes were involved in that too. And the Bushes actually own the Red Cross. And so all throughout these disasters, they got a couple tents and some bad water, and that's about it. And then they got forced inoculations on them. Where are all these billions of dollars going? We know where they're going. They're going into the pockets of the banksters. People are totally being scammed, with these programs, with these supposed charitable organizations. And people need to really do the research. Okay, how much of your money just goes into staff? How much of your money goes here and goes there? I mean, there does need to be some, going to staff, and there's no reason why the staff can't be paid a decent wage. I mean, when you've got billions of dollars there and none of it's going for the designed purpose, or where it's supposed to be designated, rethinking, and do we contribute to these massive organizations, or do we just go take the money and put it into the hands of the people? Find groups, smaller groups that are actually doing the work.
If you just look at these big charities, I think the standard formula is that something like 80 to 90% of it goes to expenses of that company, and only 10% reaches the people, or reaches if that. And then it's, as inoculations or AIDS vaccines or It's a disaster. This also leads into the whole Ubuntu movement's plan on healthcare, and obviously also on education, because the current education system creates people that believe that inoculations are good,
I know.
and zombies, people that just come out zombies from 12 years of schooling, and they do what? They go out there looking for a job with a piece of paper called a certificate. And they think that because they've been good students, they got a certificate, that they're going to find happiness and a thing called a job. And as the students leaving school today, very few of them will find jobs, and it's a really gloomy, gloomy future for the youth today. And this is why I'm putting more and more emphasis on the Ubuntu youth movement to get to plant the seeds of consciousness and knowledge and awareness into the schools and the colleges and universities, so that the youngsters start waking up and realize that they have no future. In the current system, they have no future unless they stand up and step up and start doing something for themselves right now. And exciting times, James. I'm excited. I believe we are on the verge of some great changes, and I truly believe that our, one small town policy is one of the most exciting things that has happened in the global truth movement arena. I look forward to how this unfolds in 2017.
Well, I know Ubuntu totally aligns with what the prophets have been saying, and the ninth wave. The Mayans talk about the ninth wave, which we're in right now, which is actually unity consciousness. And so it totally aligns with unity consciousness. So these things will thrive, in the future, because you've got this massive wave of consciousness and energy behind it, and all the higher dimensional beings are involved in it too, So getting this thing go forward. What I see is the old program is it's not frequency specific to where the earth is evolving. So the old program's days are numbered, and it's going to continue to implode, And so when the system does implode, we need a new system or a new way of being to take its place, so we don't have, a lot of chaos and a lot of other problems that come with the old system imploding.
I've been watching Under the Dome recently, the TV show Under the Dome, and it's really funny because I must admit I laugh most of the way through it, because it's exactly what we should not do when we get into situations like you've just described. And that's exactly what happens. I'm now sort of halfway through the second season, and it's just really funny. It's just like everything that we promote with the Ubuntu movement, they do the opposite in that show. So it's great. It's almost like they're showing us what not to do, because anybody that watches this goes must go, that doesn't work. We can't do that. We should do the opposite.
Yeah. Yeah, they've tried several experiments like that, and what I found out, the reason they failed is, one, they didn't have a spiritual component to it, and two, the people that were involved that were under the dome, you know, in the other experiments were not focused in. They weren't service oriented. They didn't have that focus. They're still running from the me program and what's in it for me, and you know, it just didn't work out. You know, and then, and also too, with the shift going on, everybody's issues are coming up. You know, all the old wounds and traumas and wrong conclusions, past experiences are coming up to process. And when you put people in a tight space like that, where they're on top of each other, you know, it's like, you know, you better have your self mastery down, because you're going to lose it. You know, if you don't have some way to process those energies. And that's why I see in like the dome, things like that, they probably don't have any process oriented therapy or any spiritual component to it, so they're always destined to fail.
That's what I've noticed about a lot of the intentional communities that people try to start. They fail as well because of a lot of this, the lack of consciousness, or people are not really, they don't quite really understand what it takes to live and work together in a community. And I've learned this the hard way myself with the volunteer programs and the many projects we tried to launch, and the problems we encountered, and the egos and personality clashes, and no, that won't work, we must do it like this, and instead of just getting on with it and you know, working towards the final outcome instead of worrying about the small differences at the beginning. And it's just fascinating, man. I've learned so much about human nature at the way it's been molded by the capitalist system and our reality that we find ourselves in. Like the producer in the Truman Show says, you know, we are products of the reality that we find ourselves in.
Yeah.
And that's what it is, and slowly but surely we're waking up out of it. And this is really important for people listening to this chat, is that with the Ubuntu movement, is what we're doing very different from what has happened in the past with movements and resistance groups and so forth. Is we are creating a new alternative. We're presenting a new alternative and have laid out the steps very, very clearly. This is what we do. This is, and if we just follow those steps, very, very soon we'll get to this point. Within months and within a year or two, we'll get to this point of abundance and prosperity that none of us can even imagine in this capitalist, money-driven world. And the best part about it is that we're doing it with money. We're doing it with a capitalist system, and yet we're not going to need any of that money. And at the same time, we're doing it without any resistance to the current system. No opposition, no resistance, no violence, no conflict. None of those aspects that have been used in the past to resist the governments or resist the military or resist that or you know, et cetera. And none of that. So we're doing it by just creating a new alternative, and an alternative that more and more people will find appealing and attractive and will want to be part of. So you're not forcing anyone into it. You're not resisting anyone that is currently controlling the world and trying to manipulate everyone. You're using the tools they've created to enslave and manipulate everyone. It is the most incredible twist of reality, twist of like a warped, twisted sense of turning things upside down and making them work for ourselves. It's just incredible. It's such a sense of elation and liberation, knowing that we can do it without any of those old paradigm tactics.
I agree. You know, I always say, if you're aligned with nature and there is kind of a natural law, and the more you're aligned with it, the more abundant you're going to be. And when you get out of alignment with it, then the abundance stops. And what I've seen is, it is our true nature to we all have that God-given right to live a thoroughly loving, joyous, abundant life, you know, and connect with our creator, whatever that may be for you. But when you get into universal law and the higher consciousness and energy and work from that, everything comes together. And people go, well, that's airy-fairy. And I said, well, you take an ear of corn, you know, one kernel will produce another ear of corn, maybe two ears of corn. I've counted them. There's over 500 kernels on that corn. And then so yeah. you plant that one kernel and you get two ears of corn. And now you've got 1,000 kernels, and you plant 1,000 kernels, and it's 1,000 times whatever, 500 or 1,000. And that's the exponential way of nature. And so when you look at that, you go, well, why are there people starving? You know, how can this be? This makes nature is so abundant. I mean, the seed production, everything is so abundant. You know, the lack has to be manufactured. And then when you do the research, you find out it is.
Yeah. Well, that's exactly why the whole democracy thing has been shoved down our throats. I mean, democracy is just a very nice word for bullying tactics.
Yeah.
You know, there's 51 of us and 49 of you, so it's going to be our way or the highway. Yeah. And that's not a solution. That's just a bullying tactic, and we have more guns and there's more of us. And so democracy is a big lie that's been sold to us as a sugar-coated poison pill. Then obviously capitalism, everybody knows by now, it's just an evil tool to keep the corporations in control. And then the corporate greed that is just behind all of this stuff. What I wanted to say is you talk about the laws of nature and working align yourself with nature. You know, I remember seeing a wonderful clip that mimics the brilliant George Bush, that says we're not gonna submit to nature. We're not gonna be controlled by nature. We will take control of nature, and that's exactly the kind of way they would think at that level of insanity or unconsciousness.
Yeah, I agree. It's almost like, I watch these guys, especially Bush. You know, we want to put food on your family and things like this. Quotes, his famous quotes. Yeah. But you know, you go, this guy's president. How'd that happen? You know.
So, yeah, no, it's brilliant. It is very funny.
Yeah, but you know, it's I always tell right now we need a warrior to turn this thing upside down, and then after that we'll get a Gandhi, and I think that's where we're going, and so we do need to just totally turn this whole system, you know, make it transparent, you know, just really take a look at what's going on, how it's not working, look at the trillions and trillions of dollars are being siphoned off into the hands of the elite, and if we could divert that money back to the people, then we'd have no problems whatsoever.
Yeah, I need to add to that is that money needs to be put to use to create these communities of abundance that we promote with the Ubuntu movement. Otherwise, it just becomes another gluttonous, you know, run to buy stuff and you know, create a lavish lifestyle for yourself while everyone else around you lives in misery. So whenever we talk about money, it's really always got to be about how do we use that money to set up the foundations in which we will no longer need money in the future. That's how I always try and get people to see it.
I agree. It seems like, you know, we get rid of one tyrant, and the tyrant that took out the other tyrant ends up taking all the money and doing the same thing. And until it does go back to the bottom, you know, the bottom tiers, and starts working on that level, we're always going to have that same problem.
Exactly.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, James. Have you had any recently any interesting downloads or channelings in some of the spiritual work that you do?
Yeah, a lot of information actually is coming out. I know a lot of people don't understand, but there's like a trans-dimensional war going on. And so there's a war between, you know, the fallen Anunnaki and the benevolent Anunnaki. There's a war between the reptilians and, you know, the Pleiadians, the Orion Council of Light, the Arcturians, and Andromedans are all coming forward. as well as others, and a massive cleanup process is happening, you know, on the other levels, and now it's being reflected here on Earth, and we're starting to see that the puppet masters are being taken out, which are actually coming from another dimension, and now their puppets are just floundering, you know, here on the Earth. And we're in a massive, massive shift right now that is it's basically like, it's like the source itself, you know, like this pure higher consciousness and energy is coming in, and it's a healing energy. But the problem is everything that doesn't align with it just kind of implodes. And so it's not a we're going to take you out and destroy you energy. It's like we're going to raise the frequency, and whatever is not frequency specific is not going to be around much longer. And that's, we're in the process of that happening. And now it's at the apex of you know, the end of tyranny, the end of this old draconian network. And so once that's taken out and finished, then, you know, Ubuntu movements and other movements can thrive, you know, and then we can get all, we'll be getting all the feelless energy technology, the healing technology, you know, the suppressed formulas that could heal cancer and everything else are all going to start. This is all in a process, but it's all going to come forward.
Yeah. Well, I just want to say it's not about the Ubuntu movement thriving. It's just about the message getting out so that people can thrive by implementing the simple philosophies of Ubuntu and contributionism. And that's, you know, if I could step away from it today, I would. To some extent, I'm exhausted. I'm tired of pushing this thing uphill.
Yeah.
But I think I suddenly feel that there is huge support coming from areas that I did not expect, new areas. And most of the, you know, the exhaustion comes from, again, because it's a financial thing, always. You're always trying to struggle to survive because we're stuck in this horrible, you know, materialistic world that we constantly need to pay the bills. Otherwise, we can't carry on unless you become a recluse, and that's okay. But then you can't run a movement.
So, exactly.
So it's a terrible double-edged sword that you face all the time. But suddenly in 2017, there's been this shift that's been both a huge attack from the dark side, but at the same time, the opening of the gates and the floodgates of benevolent, wealthy individuals who want to get involved now and start pushing this thing really quickly. Mm-hmm. Just one example, you know, we're planning to launch a new science and inventors expo in the various countries that we have Ubuntu members and Ubuntu management teams. And the idea, the reason for that is because most of the new inventors and scientists that we find around the world, their ideas and their inventions get stolen every year by the greedy corporations. Mm-hmm. And we never ever see those inventions and the technology. So the big corporations run these competitions, and then the people that participate sign away their rights to their inventions and whatever it may be. Whether it's new materials or technology or free energy or cures for cancer, we never see those. Mm-hmm. So we're basically planning to do the opposite. We want to make sure that that we offer a big enough prize, cash prize, because that'll get the people coming out of hiding, mm-hmm. and share their brilliance with the world and ensure that they retain the rights to the intellectual property while we pair them up and with engineering companies or manufacturers that are the right kind and have the caliber and the capacity to deliver and produce whatever that discovery or invention is. So that's very exciting part of our development for 2017. And then also the Ubuntu Music and Arts Festival that we plan to do in various countries where musicians, artists, poets, comedians come together over a long weekend and share and play and perform and share their beautiful skills on all levels, and spread the Ubuntu and contributionism philosophy through their spoken word and musical and artistic expression. And so it's going to be an exciting year, 2017. I'm really looking forward to it.
Awesome. Hey, unfortunately, we're hitting the end of the hour here, so I wanted to go ahead and what's the best way for people to get a hold of you and actually contribute to the work that you're doing?
The best way, and James, thanks very much for this chat. It's great speaking to you again. I think I haven't spoken to you for nearly 2 years now. But I'll be seeing you at Contact in the Desert, I believe.
Yeah, I'll definitely be there.
Excellent. The easiest is go to ubuntuplanet.org, ubuntuplanet.org, and go on to donate. Click on the donate button and make a donation to us. We've made it become a monthly contributor and help us keep the office going. Mostly, it's the costs and the expenses of running the movement that right now we need to make sure that we can cover, so we can carry on running the movement without constantly begging for money, which is a terrible thing. I hate doing that. It's just horrible.
Yeah, I know.
And you know, that's for that reason that I sometimes actually want to just go, you know what, I don't want to do this anymore, because if I have to beg for money again to keep this movement alive, I don't really want to do it anymore. But we've had incredible people, and I thank all those that have supported us over the years. And please keep supporting us, because as we grow, we need to bring more people in, and we need to pay those people a salary. They can't do it as volunteers forever.
Yeah.
So
I agree. Hey, well, again, I can't thank you enough. I'm sure we won't let another 2 years go before we hook up and connect. I've been super busy as well with all these other projects, but I can't thank you enough for the work you're doing. And I feel really good that all the support is right around the corner, that things are going to be taken off. And actually, 2017, when you do the math, is really 2012. Some people haven't figured that out yet.
So, you've got it.
Yeah, so all the things that we were expecting to happen in 2012 are actually going to happen in 2017.
Yeah. I heard that actually in 2012 already, people were saying that 2017 is actually the year in which the big change and shift will come.
Exactly.
So yeah, it's come already. The USA, Donald Trump is a great example of that.
Yeah, he is. Well, anyway, I can't thank you enough. Unfortunately, we're out of time. So keep up the great work, and we'll be in touch.
Thanks, James. Stay well, my friend. Speak to you soon.
All right. It's James Gunn with As You Wish Talk Radio. Signing off. Have a great evening.